COVID-19 is beginning to disrupt lives around the world, well beyond the epicenter in China. From flight cancellations and travel restrictions to warnings of serious economic implications, millions of people are feeling the effects of what's become an international health crisis.
2020 has no doubt been a year we will never forget. We had no idea at the beginning of this year, when we were unveiling our brand new core values, that every single one of them would be put to the test, that we as a church would be challenged to live out who God has called us to be individually and as a church.
Absolutely, and really from our generosity to our prayer lives, to also having an open heart to what God has for us within our city and also around the world. And we just want to say that we are so grateful to our church, to all of you who call Citizen Church your home. You have leaned in such a challenging and complicated season, and you have decided we are going to be the church. And it's been an incredible yet challenging season for us all, but we've seen God's hand throughout the entire time.
This year has pulled out of us an even greater spirit of innovation and creativity, and has brought out of us a tenacity to see the Church of Jesus Christ thrive and expand like never before. We believe that the best days for our church are still yet to come, and we are so excited to see what this next year has in store. I saw this video for the first time this morning early in run through, and it just broke me. And I started crying. I couldn't even really get a hold of myself because it's been such a trying year for every person in this room. Whatever your world looks like, it's been trying. And it just feels like it's never going to let up. But what I want to talk about just for the next few minutes is that we serve a God who can do more than we could ever possibly expect, even when we can expect very little out of the world we're living in right now. Yeah, I think you can clap to that. At this time, I would like to officially welcome our Maui campus and also all those that are watching online. Can we welcome everybody? Thank you. One of the things that we're talking about today, and the reason why we're all here today, this is Heart for the House Sunday. What is Heart for the House Sunday? Heart for the House is a Sunday we do once a year where we come together as a church and we sacrificially give. We present for about the last 8 weeks what these endeavors could be. We come together as a church and we see God do the miraculous. So just for about the next 10 minutes, I want to share, and then I'm going to bring some people on stage and talk about some things we're going to be launching in 2021 and also what we're going to be giving toward today. In Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 20, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, and he writes this pretty famous passage. And this is what it says. Now to him, talking about God, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I love this passage, and I've loved it ever since I was a little kid. And honestly, for about the last 10 to 15 years, this has been one of those anchor passages that we have operated out of as a church. This is one of these words are so encouraging from the Apostle Paul, but they're so real that we serve a God who is able to do immeasurably more. Now, I know some of you maybe have attended churches in the past or maybe have heard someone take this scripture out of context, but I want to assure you with something. There's one thing that every major commentator and theologian says about this passage. You can misconstrue it if you want, but I'll tell you what the passage says. We serve a God who is able to do more and exceed our wildest dreams. That's the truth. When you look at this opening line that he's a God who is able, the writer, the Apostle Paul, this was not just a descriptor phrase. He wasn't just describing an attribute of God. This was actually a title he was giving God. He's saying the God that we serve, one of his names is the God who is able. No matter what situation you're facing today in your personal life, in your marriage, in your finances, with your job, with your kids, I want to tell you today straight from scripture that the God we serve, his name is the God who is able. Do you believe that today? He is the God who is able. Thank you. Yeah, he's the God who is able. But not only is he the God who is able, he's also specifically the God who can do measurably more than all we can ask or imagine. Think about that. Think real quick. Do you honestly believe that about God? That he's the God who can do measurably more than all you can think or ask. You know, it's easy to look over our shoulder at in our past and say, God, you know, you were there. You did do more than I could expect or even ask, but can we trust that same God with our future? Too many times we count God out. We count him out because we can't see a way. I can't tell you how many times in the last 8 months, being a new pastor of this church, that I've come to that point where I've looked at a situation and said, God, I can't see a way. And then he faithfully and consistently reminds me that he is the God who is able to do measurably more than all we could ask, think, or imagine. That's the God that we serve as a church, yes, but it's also the God you serve individually. I don't know about you, but how many of you guys have ever used a tape measure before? Anybody? I'll tell you how little I use a tape measure. I had to go buy one for this sermon. But here's the truth. I'm not necessarily the best fix-it guy at all, but right at the beginning of the pandemic, our microwave just went out. That's a really bad thing at the beginning of quarantine, right? So our microwave went out, and we were looking at how much it costs to like bring someone in to install it, and I was like, Mandy, babe, I've got this. So we go to Home Depot, we pick the microwave, we come out, we come back, and I'm looking at this slot, you know, our old microwave, and I take it out, and it's just on some mounts. You know, you just screw the microwave in on some mounts, and it's easy. It's easy, right? No, it is not easy. And if it's easy for you, it's not easy for me. I'll just say that. So I took this microwave out, and I'm looking at this slot, and I had before I went to Home Depot, I had measured everything. I had gone through here, measured every single thing on the bracket, measured the space. I had even put the pencil on my ear like I was like a general contractor. I was like, yes, I am the man. I've got all of the measurements. We go get the microwave. We come back. Virtually every measurement I took was wrong. Every single one of them. And I'm trying to put this microwave in, and I can't fit it, and the brackets aren't working. My kids aren't helping. They're making fun of me. Mandy's behind me going, do you need help? And I'm like, no, I don't need help. And I'm trying to put it in, and finally, I came to the realization, although I'm not able according to my measurements, I have a wife who is able. Can I get an amen? And there's no shame in my game. She is the fix-it person in our family. Even when I bought this tape measure, I couldn't get it out of the packaging. So I take it over to her. I was like, Mandy, can you take this out? And she goes, well, yeah. Poof. And she hands it to me. I was like, oh, why? Why can't I do anything, you know? But I have a wife who is able. My measurements were wrong, but she came in and we got the microwave installed. When we think about God and what we can see and measure, We will walk up to a situation and measure it with our own eyes. We'll measure it with our own senses, with our own five senses, and we will look to the God who lives in the fourth dimension with our three-dimensional problems, and we'll say, God, I've measured it. It's impossible. You can't fix this. You can't do that. But our God is the God who is immeasurable. We can't measure what he can do. We can only measure what we can do. So we'll walk up to situations and do that. When we think about what the Bible says about what we can measure, think about Moses. You go all the way back to the book of Exodus, and Moses, this famous historical biblical figure, God sends him to Pharaoh, let my people go, the 10 plagues. They're walking away from Egypt, and all of a sudden, 2 million people are walking. Moses is leading them. Now the Egyptians are coming after them because they changed their mind, and all of these miracles God has done, and then they approach the impossible Red Sea. Now, even though God had done miracles, when we read the story, we say, Moses, look at everything God has done. Of course he's gonna do another miracle. But Moses could say the same thing to you. Look at all the miracles God has done. But when we come up to a new Red Sea, we measure it. And we say, God, this looks impossible. We don't have boats. And you can imagine being Moses. How am I gonna get 2 million people across the Red Sea? And people started murmuring and they started doubting. And all the people were measuring the situation. And then the immeasurable God steps in and says, what you measure in the physical, I don't measure in the supernatural. And he did the miracle and parted the Red Sea. We can keep moving in scripture. That same group of people, after wandering in the wilderness, they finally get up to the promised land. And they've only been in the wilderness for a few years. They get to the promised land right on the edge. And Moses sends, it's a famous story, sends 12 spies into this new promised land where other kingdoms and other people groups were. When those 12 spies went in, they saw huge fortified cities, giants. And 10 of the spies came back and they even said, we feel like grasshoppers in our own eyes compared to the giants. Moses, we cannot win. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, weren't measuring according to man's standards. They were measuring according to God's standards. And they said, there might be giants and there might be fortified cities, but let's go. But Moses didn't. He pulled back. They wandered for 40 more years. And then when it was finally Joshua's time to step forward, when it was finally Joshua's time to lead, he steps forward and remembered all those years ago what he experienced. And although he saw something in his own eyes, he said, I serve an immeasurable God. And we see the impossible story of the city of Jericho crumbling before them. You keep moving in scripture to King David. Before he was King David, he was David the shepherd boy, a teenager, possibly a middle school age, 12 or 13 years old, tending his father's sheep. He's on an errand to give his brothers food who were at the battle. They come up, he walks up to the edge of the battle, and across the valley, there's a giant named Goliath, the most fierce warrior in the world at this time, 9.5 feet tall, a champion from Gath. Everyone else was measuring the situation according to man's standards and said, the giant's too big. The Philistines are too strong. Even King Saul, the man that was leading God's people, said it can't be done. And then here comes a shepherd boy who actually believed in the God of Israel. And what everyone else was measuring, David did not use the same measuring standard. And he said, this giant is defying my God. And he said, you might come to me with a sword and spear, but I come to you in the power of God, because he used a different measurement system. You keep moving to the New Testament with Jesus, the entire story of Jesus. People measured incorrectly, was constantly showing himself as the immeasurable God. One of my favorite stories is the feeding of the 5,000. The disciples come to Jesus and he's teaching 5,000 men, 15,000 people in total with women and children. And they're out away from the nearest town and people are starting to get hungry. And the disciples come up to Jesus and they say, Jesus, we're far away from the nearest town. The people are getting hungry. It's time to let them go get something to eat. They were measuring the situation with their own senses. There's no food, Jesus. Time to be done. Then Jesus says, why don't you give them something to eat? Go tell them, go search and bring me something. Show me what you can find. All they can find was one boy's lunch, some bread and some fish. And you can imagine being the disciples if they're looking at their own eyes and their own senses and they're measuring the situation. Jesus, we told you it's impossible. This is all we could find. It's one boy's lunch. And then Jesus does the miraculous and he multiplies this lunch and feeds 15,000 people with 12 baskets left over. We as humans will approach every situation measuring it ourselves when God has a different measurement system. You keep moving in the story of Jesus. One of his best friends, Lazarus, died. Jesus was away. Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, begged Jesus to come back and heal him before he died. Jesus didn't come back. Finally, after Lazarus had been dead for days, Jesus finally returns to Bethany, the town, and he returns, and Mary and Martha approach him. They're saying, Jesus, you're too late. He's already dead. How could you let your friend die? They were measuring the situation and said, it looks dead. He's dead, Jesus. They were measuring the situation with their own measurement system. They believed Jesus could come back and heal their brother to stop him from dying, but they didn't believe yet that he was the God who could conquer death. And they said, you can't do it. He's already dead. And Jesus approaches the tomb and says, Lazarus, come forth. Pulls Lazarus out of death, hell, and the grave, pulls him out of the tomb. He walks out alive because Jesus operates off of a different measurement system. You keep moving in scripture to the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter had a major moral failure. Right as Jesus was being arrested, and looks over at Peter, and Peter denies that he even knows Jesus three times. This is Peter, the rock. When Jesus called Peter the rock, his name back then actually was Simon, and it meant reed, a reed that was easily blown in the wind. And Jesus, in front of the other disciples, calls him a rock. Why? He's using a different measurement system. Peter, later on at this moment, fails Jesus, has a moral failure. And everyone starts running, and even Peter, inside of his own life, Jesus is using a different measurement system because now Peter is operating in guilt. I'm not gonna serve God. I'm not gonna do anything great anymore because look at what I've done in disappointing Jesus. But Jesus resurrects, comes out of the tomb, and meets Peter on the beach for breakfast and reinstates Peter after his repentance because he uses a different measurement system. When the world says it's over or God can't, that's when God steps in and says, you're measuring the situation in the wrong way. The Church of Jesus Christ in the book of Acts should never have taken off. People would measure it and say, they're being oppressed by the Jews back then. The Jewish leaders are wanting to kill them. The Romans are wanting to kill them. The Herodians are wanting to kill the Christians. This new religion, this new way of life will never take off. But they were using the wrong measurement system because Jesus sent the power of the Holy Spirit that defies all the odds. The Church of Jesus Christ took off in the book of Acts. It never should have. It never should have infiltrated the Roman Empire, but it did because God works off of a different measurement system. Christianity, the church, never should have survived the Holy Roman Empire, but it did. It never should have survived the Renaissance and the Dark Ages. It never should have survived communist China, where Christians were being killed and the underground church rose up into the millions when they weren't allowed to have church. Why? Because God uses a different measurement system. And that's the God we serve today. We walk up to a situation and say, it can't be done. And then God's looking at us saying, just lean on me. It can be done. When we first started and went into this pandemic, I'll never forget it. It was March 13th because it was Friday the 13th. And back then I kind of thought that was funny when I thought it was gonna last for 2 weeks. Friday the 13th, oh, God's got some good humor here. But I will never forget that night. That's when we sent out the first video on social media and through email to everyone saying we were closing our doors for in-person services. At that time, I remember talking to some of our leaders and we had never done this before, and obviously, and we were looking around thinking, can our church even survive not having in-person services? Will people stay committed? Will people stay generous? Will people forget about church? Can it survive even longer than a month? And what we found out through the pandemic, we were measuring the wrong thing. We were saying, can it even survive? And God was saying, through me, I will make it thrive on levels you could not have even imagined. because I'm an immeasurable God. When churches were closing down for in-person services, we made a promise with our staff, although we might be closing in-person services, we will not close our ministry. We will actually put our foot on the gas and do more ministry than we've even done over the last few years. I want to show you some of the things. This is about 50% of what we've accomplished, not over the last 10 years, not over the last 3 years, over the last 8 months. From senior care and senior facilities to schools, child well-being, streets, so many additional things with both campuses. I think it's pretty amazing that even our Maui campus, every single Thursday since the beginning of the pandemic, on average have passed out 300 to 500 food boxes that will feed all of those families for up to 5 days. I believe that deserves a huge round of applause. When so many people counted the church out, we stepped up. You stepped up. When I'm talking today, when I say I'm proud of Citizen Church, I'm not talking about proud of Citizen Church, the ambiguous institution, the building, the destination. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of us as a church. We came together and believed that God is immeasurable and that he can do more than we could ever think or imagine. We serve an immeasurable God. All of those times that I doubted over the last 8 months, all of those times, I measured the wrong way. And God proved me wrong. I want to read Isaiah 55:8. This verse was what I preached out of for my very first sermon I ever preached when I was 18 years old. And back then, I believed it, but I didn't fully understand it. And today, I do. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "The Lord says, my thoughts are not like your thoughts. Your ways are not like my ways. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." I want to encourage you guys today as I wrap up and invite someone to the stage in a moment. I want to encourage you today. God's ways are higher, bigger, and better than your ways. We serve an immeasurable God. This phrase on the stage, "so we can," this is our theme for our Heart for the House offering. So we can. The only reason we can is because we serve a God that's immeasurable. We can do anything we believe we can do because of the power of God behind us. So we can. At this time, I'm gonna ask my dad to join me on the stage. Give him a huge round of applause. We, a few years ago, actually 10 to 11 years ago, launched a pretty aggressive missions endeavor. And so in a few minutes, we're actually going to let you know and launch all of the missions things we're going to be doing in 2021. But Dad, I just started pastoring in January. You pastored for years and years and years before that. Again, 10 to 11 years ago, you just heard from God and said, we're going to get aggressive with how we do missions and change it. And we've accomplished a lot of cool things. Why don't you catch us up on what we've accomplished?
Yeah, you know, I think out of 40 years of ministry, this is one of my favorite stories to reflect back upon. We were doing an old model of missions in our church. We were throwing $500 here and $100 there and $50 there at different mission organizations around the world. And we had no idea where that money was going and what was being accomplished. And so we decided to revitalize our missions program here at the church. And we just got a few people together and we started meeting, and we met for 9 long months. And what we were doing, we were studying unreached people groups, meaning people who had never heard the gospel of Christ, those groupings of people somewhere in the world. And we studied their culture, and we studied, world religions. And by the end of that 9 months, it almost felt supernatural that out of all of the groups that we had studied around the world in Asia and India and Africa and South America, Africa, Mexico, that we just gravitated to two tribes of people. One tribe, the Digo tribe in Mombasa, Africa, and the other was a tribe, the Tarahumara people in Chihuahua, Mexico. And so those were the ones that we locked onto, and the next thing was, let's go meet these people. And so that was really a major endeavor to just go, let's go meet some people in a tribe somewhere. And so I remember myself and four others, we boarded a plane, flew to Africa. About 20 hours later, we were flying late into Nairobi, and I remember looking out the window and the sea of lights that seemed to go on forever. And as we were flying in, I had this feeling of terror that struck me. and almost insanity, thinking, who do we think we are to go halfway around the world believing that we can make a difference in a tribe of people that have never heard the message of Christ? Yeah. The Digo people, 99.9 Muslims, they were hostile towards Christianity. And so we landed, we went to Mombasa, and there we just began to walk the streets talking to people. And it was amazing. You could tell that they were divine appointments, that God was leading us and talking to different people. When we left there that day, we realized that their biggest need outside of knowing Christ was medical care. So we came home and we began to put together medical missions trips from us here in the church. We started going year after year after year to the same people, same location, building trust with them. And but the problem was we were meeting their physical needs, mm-hmm. but we were not meeting their spiritual needs. And there was not one single convert that entire time. And so many years went by investing. 2 years ago, we took another trip to Africa. And when we landed, the people wanted to take us directly to an outdoor chapel area where we went. We sat in a circle of about 20 people, and one by one, people from the Digo tribe began to stand in that circle, and they began to tell their story of how they had come to Christ because of the ministry that this church had done, telling their stories of receiving Christ. And how by doing so, they were kicked out of their family. They were considered dead to their family, would never see their family members again. Some lost their jobs. Others were physically beaten by their decision. And yet every single one of them said, whatever we've gone through, it is worth meeting Jesus Christ. And so it was absolutely amazing what took place from that point. Now, what's happening is it goes beyond anything we could have ever dreamed of, sitting in a group of just a few of us dreaming about missions. But right now, we've already broken ground on building a medical, it's a medical center there in Mombasa, Africa. It's a two-story building, and this is what we as a church are accomplishing right now that will service 6,000 people a year. And when they line up at that door every single day for medical care, they will walk in, they will be tended to, helped physically, they will be loved. But most of all, every single one of them, before they leave, will hear the transforming power of Jesus Christ. And that's all because of what you have done over the last few years.
Amazing.
Absolutely. The other part of that is the Tarahumara tribe down in Chihuahua, Mexico. These people lived in Copper Canyon for hundreds of years. And because of starvation, they migrated into the city of Chihuahua. They are outcast to the Mexican people. When we arrived there, we had nothing but one man's name and a phone number. And we sat down with him when we arrived. He was an older man who'd been a missionary. And this is what he said. He said, the Tarahumara people, there have been missionaries working with them for over 100 years, and we do not know of one single convert in those 100 years, that he believed that they were the hardest people to reach anywhere in the world. Well, as he began to explain to us, and we began to walk through the streets of where they lived, in extreme poverty, many times in a little housing unit of 15 feet by 15 feet, there would be 20 people living in that little area. Incest, child abuse, drug abuse, and 98% of the male adult men were addicted to alcohol. And I mean, a horrendous situation. And it looked hopeless, one of the darkest places I've ever been in my life. But over a period of time, right now, because of our investment in the last 10 years, there is a growing, thriving church. There was a thriving school of where, because of us adopting children from here at Citizen Church, that we are clothing them, feeding them, educating them, and teaching them about Christ. This entire community has absolutely transformed from darkness into light. It is night and day, and I mean, every single day, people are coming to Christ. And all of that, Dustin, is possible because what happened several years ago, We decided not to throw money at missions, but that we would actually become the missionaries. And we have sent over 350 of you to be on location. And because of your love and your interest and your investment, we've been able to see this whole thing transform. And we're just getting started. It is the beginning point of something absolutely phenomenal.
Well, 10 years ago when we first launched it, it was a 10-year endeavor.
Yeah.
And when the 10 years was over, it wasn't over. I mean, we looked at this and just fell in love with the missionaries we have there now and what's going on, the people. And so not only are we not giving up, we're doubling down.
Right.
And we're going to keep moving because God called us there for a reason, and so many amazing things are happening. And you will actually have opportunities to go to both of those places in 2021. Will you guys give my dad a huge round of applause? Thank you so much. And then also welcome Pastor Nick to the stage. Give him a huge round of applause as well. Pastor Nick is our advancement pastor here at the church, and what that means is he oversees all ministry outside of the walls, and included in that is missions. And so you've been a part of our church for all 10 of those years and been able to experience the missions endeavor unfold. Now you're leading it, and we are expanding this year. Again, we're doubling down on Africa, on Kenya and Mexico, but at the same time, we're expanding. Why don't you show us a little glimpse at where we're going in the future?
Absolutely. We're adding two new locations to our missions vision in 2021. We're super excited about it. We're adding Thailand, and we're adding Haiti. And our goal is to go really deep and do the same things that we've done in Mexico and Africa over the course of the last 10 plus years in these two locations. We've partnered with some amazing organizations there, missionaries on the ground. And in Haiti specifically, it's an organization called Healing Haiti. And what's so crazy is that when we were doing research on Haiti and why we chose them is Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. And in Haiti, there's a need for help. There's a need for support. There's a need for rebuilding. There's a need for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so through this organization, Healing Haiti, they're focused on the family. And their core value is believing that if they can help families, that they can help a community.
Right.
And so that's why we chose them as a partner for our future endeavors. And we're going to be doing trips this year to Haiti. And we're going to be working in schools. We're going to be working on the ground, building different houses and businesses to help support the locals there in 2021. And then on the Thailand side, we partnered with an organization called World Help. And we had Noel Yates, the director of World Help, here a few weeks ago, if you remember. And we started this partnership by just throwing out a need. You know, in conversation, you know, one of the things we talked about was their need to get people to support and sponsor children that are in or affected by the sex trade industry in Thailand. And so when we were talking, you know, we said, hey, let's talk about that on a Sunday. Our church will respond. Our church will show up. And what's so amazing about this is to this day, we have 140 kids that our church has sponsored in Thailand.
Yeah.
And I think it's worth giving God praise for.
You know, what else I thought of after the first service is on top of us giving, you know, sponsoring 140 children, we also gave World Help that day $10,000 because of needs during the pandemic so they can keep this ministry moving forward. And I love the relationship we've built with Noel. I love the relationship we're building with Healing Haiti, the relationships we already have. So what do people need to know next steps for these future missions endeavors?
Yeah, we're launching a campaign.
Yep.
And that campaign, we're going to tie it to the phrase heart for. We want families to have a heart for one of these four locations, a heart for Kenya, a heart for Thailand, a heart for Haiti, a heart for Mexico. And we're going to ask our church to make a decision to give, pray, and go to one of these locations in 2021.
Yeah.
And so there are ways for you to get involved with missions. We're making giving very easy, and your giving is going to go towards specific endeavors, specific projects in the nation that you have a heart for. Pray. We're going to put together just a list that we're going to send to you every single month on things that you can be praying for in Haiti, in Africa, in Kenya, and in Mexico. And then go. We're going to have an interest meeting on November 30th here at the church.
What day of the week is that?
It's a Monday.
Okay.
It's a Monday. So I had to look down there. It's a Monday, November 30th. If you're in the building, Maui, we're going to have an interest meeting in the coming weeks there on the island as well. More information for you. And if you're watching online, there are ways for you to get involved. Check out the website. You know, you guys, when you came in, you have these handouts. And what's so cool about these handouts is it gives some general information on missions. But there's this really fancy, snazzy QR code in the middle.
Yep.
Pastor Dustin, you want to show them how
yes.
to use it?
So I was saying last service, I never really used QR codes until the pandemic
yes.
at restaurants. You guys used QR codes before? Probably. Okay. Okay, wow, you guys are here? Like, no, you idiot. We don't use QR code. Okay, so all you do is open your camera and you just put it on top of the QR code. It takes you straight to the website, yes. And it will give you all the information you need about missions at Citizen Church.
So good.
I'm very technological.
You are.
I know.
It was great.
Yeah, go ahead.
Awesome. And so, hey, that's what you need to know. You can check out the website for all information on how you sign up. We want you, if you're interested in being a part of missions this year, we want you to be at one of those interest meetings, but we're asking that you sign up so we know you're going to show up on the 30th for that meeting.
And the interest meetings are so important because that's where we're going to go through all the details. I have talked to so many of you that want to get out in 2021 and go somewhere to make a difference. This is an incredible opportunity. Africa, Mexico, Thailand, Haiti, we're making it. They're all different parts of the spectrum financially. Some are very affordable. Some are going to take a bigger sacrifice. But we're giving you guys a lot of opportunities. But not only to go, like what Nick was saying, if you can't physically go or that's not necessarily what you feel called to do, praying is just as important as going. And giving is just as important as the other two. And so again, what Nick was saying, get your family together and get a vision from God on what do we have a heart for this year. Zero in on a specific people group. Walk your kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews through what it means to have a heart for a different place other than here. And I promise you, this investment will return, and it's an investment that we can give to and understand that the kingdom of God will be built forever and ever and ever. Anything else you want to leave us with?
No, just be praying.
Tables.
I think just be praying for missions. And also, again, go to the website. And if you don't go to the website, we have a table in the atrium right by the coffee shop. You can stop by there. We have our missions team that'll be there and be able to answer any questions that you have.
Absolutely. Thank you, Nick. Give Nick a huge round of applause. So a lot to be excited about, a lot going on at Citizen Church. So this is where we're at right now. So this missions endeavor is something we're launching for 2021. Today, for the next couple minutes, I want to talk specifically leading into this offering about what we're doing with Heart for the House. Those of you that have been here over the course of the last 8 weeks know we have an anchor project and then some supplemental projects. And again, I'm talking to everyone online. I'm talking to Maui. Still today, there's about 50% of our church who is tuning in live. So you guys are just as much a part of this as all of us here in person. But here's where we're going. One of the biggest things we're launching this year is an online campus, which again, Pastor Nick will actually be overseeing. It's advancement outside of these walls. Our online campus, where it's different than just church online is something you watch. An online campus is something you can be fully engaged in. We're needing to build out an online campus recording studio in an old area in our building where we can have live people on camera who are engaging with people online, where they can have specific pastors, specific leaders guiding them, but also for expansion around the country, around the world. We mentioned last service that people are watching from all different parts of the world, different parts of Europe, Tokyo, different parts of our country, different parts of our state, and our vision is to get people together and gather in small groups in what we're going to be calling watch parties all over the world, where online is not something you watch, but it's something we can be a part of. And through the pandemic, we've understood the need for this. It is a vast opportunity for us to build the kingdom of God. That is one of the endeavors we're giving toward today for Heart for the House offering. Also, something we've been talking about for the last 8 weeks is the need for vamping up our adult special needs program at the church. We're building out a brand new space for adult special needs. We're working on our program and taking it to the next level. Amazing leaders have led this for years and years and years. And we're going to be adding to it. And what's interesting is this. Over the last few weeks, as we've been talking about this, the amount of need and interest there is in adult special needs, honestly, we had no idea the need that was out there, the amount of people who feel called to serve in this area. This is not something, I feel bad even calling it a non-anchor project. It's just as much of an anchor project because of the need that we've experienced in our church. And let me tell you something, there's nothing better that we can give to you than people that are needing some special care and special needs. And I'm so excited about that program and where it's going in the future. Lastly, what we're giving to today, and we'll spend a little bit more time on, last but not least, 8 weeks ago exactly, we stood on this stage, and my brother and his wife, Delaney, who have been our young adult and youth pastors for many years, stood on this stage and we announced that God had placed in them a vision to launch a brand new church called Union City Church in Washington, D.C. I think this is pretty awesome, right? So they stood up on this stage 8 weeks ago. We had an idea because the political climate was crazy then, yes, but we had no idea exactly how crazy it would be. And let me just say, talk about an immeasurable God. How good is God? How sovereign is God? How brilliant is God to know for our sake, for the sake of Union City Church, that he would call who I believe are two of the greatest young church leaders in our country to start a brand new church in this city. The city in America, it might be the most powerful city in the world, that if we can turn the head of DC, we can turn the head of the world. And I believe that God, in his intentionality, put this in Brandon and Delaney's heart 3 years ago to launch this church for such a time as this. So today, we obviously had planned for Brandon and Delaney to be here. They still live here. They're not moving until this next year. We had planned for them to be here this morning, to stand up on this stage and talk through this vision, but God has a sense of humor and has a completely different plan, because in case you didn't know, Delaney has been pregnant and 9 months pregnant, and yesterday morning went into labor and gave birth to a healthy, beautiful baby boy named Archer. So Brandon called me yesterday and said, so he told me about the baby. He said, so that kind of means I probably won't be at church tomorrow. So what they did is they filmed a video there at Presbyterian Hospital here downtown. They filmed a video, and they want to introduce you guys to Archer Calvin Woodward this morning.
Hey, Citizen Church family, Pastor Brandon and Delaney here. And we just wanted to really quickly say happy Heart for the House Sunday. We wanted so badly to be with you guys today, but we're actually right now at Presbyterian Hospital downtown, because our son decided to come a few days early. And so in the early morning hours at 3:29 a.m. Saturday, Archie arrived. And so we just wanted to show him to you guys really quick. And he's happy, he's doing really well. Mom's healthy. And so thank you guys for your prayers. Thank you for your continued prayers. And we also just wanted to take a moment to say thank you guys so much for giving in Heart for the House this year. There's honestly so many incredible endeavors going on at Citizen Church around our city and around our world. And the Anchor Initiative, the Anchor Project this year, Union City Church, that Delaney and I felt like God put on our hearts to launch September 12th, 2021 in Washington, D.C. We're launching a brand new church, and we know that this would not be possible without the generosity of our home church, Citizen Church. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts with every ounce of gratitude we can give. Thank you for giving. Thank you for your generosity and even making this a possibility.
Yeah, we so wish we could be there in person to see everybody and celebrate alongside everyone, but we cannot wait to introduce Archie to everyone next Sunday.
Yeah.
So we love you guys.
Yeah, I love you. We'll see you next Sunday.
She does not look like she gave birth yesterday, huh? So again, we're so happy for them. Instead of Brandon and Delaney being here today and sharing for about 5 minutes on this vision again, they have a vision video that they use to launch their church plant, their startup church in Washington, D.C. So take about the next 5 minutes and watch this video.
I've known God was calling me to plant a church for more than a decade now. And even before Delaney and I ever got engaged, I vividly remember one night sitting in my car before I dropped her off at her house, bringing this up to her and just saying, before we go any further in this relationship, I want you to know that I think God is calling me to someday move from Albuquerque to start a brand new church. And I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't even fully know what this looks like. But I'll never forget how she just smiled and in that moment said, I'm in. In 2012, we ended up getting engaged. And in that same year, we became the college and young adult pastors at our church. And in 2015, we also became the pastors of the youth ministry. And so from 2012 until now, we've given our heart and soul to these ministries and these students. It was in the early part of 2018 that God began to stir once again that dream of a church plant, and not just inside of me, but inside of both of us. And so we went to our pastors and our leaders and told them what we felt like God was telling us, and we got their approval and their blessing to begin to explore what this might look like for us. And so our starting point literally was getting out a map of the United States and just asking God, where do you want us to go? We're willing to go wherever. We printed off lists of cities that were in desperate need of a new church. We felt like really since the beginning that we've wanted to go somewhere that had maximum need, but if reached for Christ, could have maximum impact for the kingdom of God. We began to travel. We began to Anywhere we went, whether it was for vacation or for business, we would ask, God, is this the place you want us to go? Is this where you want us to be? And we even intentionally created some trips just to go visit certain cities that were on our radar. And it was on the last trip like that that we went on that really, to us, what felt like on a whim, we added a few days in Washington, D.C. And this was a city that was on our list, but kind of far down. And not because we didn't love it, but we felt like this is a city that's too far and it's too difficult. It's going to be too expensive. There's just no way. So we ended up going and we visited D.C. anyway.
Driving into D.C., you know, it's so remarkable. There's something special about it. Just driving past the Capitol building, seeing the Washington Monument on the horizon, walking through the Lincoln Memorial. There's something just breathtaking and awe-inspiring about being there in the presence of so much history. But even beyond the government buildings and the national monuments, just walking the neighborhoods and seeing the people and taking in the culture, we just found ourselves really falling in love with the city as we were there. And I'll never forget the plane ride home from that trip. We were uncharacteristically quiet. Normally we're chatty, we're talking, we're dreaming together, but this trip was different. And I think for both of us, we were having that moment of reflection thinking, I think this is it. I remember specifically thinking, God, I don't want to have to convince Brandon of this. I was asking and praying, God, would you tell him? And I didn't know it at the time, but he was praying the exact same thing, saying, God, would you tell Delaney? And we were both praying at the same time, God, would you tell someone else to tell us this?
And on January 27, 2019, in front of almost 2,000 people at our annual church conference, the guest speaker at the end of the service unexpectedly called Delaney and I on stage and just began to speak over us what he felt like God was speaking to him in that moment.
Because I believe a big part of your guys' call will not only be to revive the younger generation, but actually the other will be to reform political stratospheres. And I believe there's going to be a diplomatic wisdom that comes over both of you guys. I feel like the Lord's going to give you guys favor in capital cities. There's going to be a grace over your life to actually influence the halls of Congress, to influence the halls of senators. There will be a grace on your life to actually pastor and disciple leaders in commerce. I see it. I actually believe that what you do in ministry in the long game will actually affect Capitol Hill, it will actually affect Washington, D.C., and actually, listen to me clearly, I do believe that God, in the days to come, will actually give you an audience with presidents and with world leaders. Pray for you.
He made it undeniable, not just to us, but to everyone who was watching and listening, that God was indeed calling us to the Capitol, to Washington, D.C., and since that moment, we've never looked back.
Washington, D.C. might just be the most important city on the planet. The decisions that are made in those 68 square miles not only have a profound impact on our country, but also have a ripple effect throughout the entire globe. And I think it's the inherent possibility within D.C. that draws in some of the most incredible people. People who are committed to advancing a cause. People who are passionate about making real change. And people who want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And that's why we have a vision to build a community of faith that's united under the common cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we really believe that a church like that will be a force to be reckoned with to the world.
We also believe that if you can turn the head of D.C., you can turn the head of the nation. You know, we don't want to just build a church that is known for its Sunday morning gatherings, but we want to build a church that is a true and genuine community and family, that is known for the way that they give and love and serve and unite under the name of Jesus Christ. DC has tons of opportunity. It's a city of inspiration, but it's also a city of great need. And we want to serve that city, serve the people, and be there to meet needs in any way that we can. We're excited today to officially announce that we will be launching Union City Church in Washington, D.C. on September 12th, 2021. And we could not be more excited for what God is going to build in the heart of the nation's capital.
It's an amazing, amazing vision that we have the opportunity to not only be a part of, but to literally launch. This is a church that is birthed out of our church. Why? Because we're not just a church that it's about our church. We're a church that's about the church around the world. And we believe in them, and we believe that this is God, and we're going to make a sacrifice today. So here's what's going to happen for the rest of service. I know we've talked about some specific Albuquerque endeavors here that we're not combining with Maui. So at this time, our Maui campus, I'm actually going to turn everything over to Pastor Sarah there, who's going to talk about some specific things that are going on there and what you guys are going to be a part of. Can we again give Maui a huge round of applause? Love you guys. What we're going to do here, every year, if you haven't been a part of our Heart for the House offering before, we actually come to the front and we're going to give in the offering and drop our offering envelope. So, but what we're going to do first in a second is have our kids come in. Our kids have been raising money, doing chores, finding change, doing everything they can to also invest into our Heart for the House offering. Today, as you guys are getting your envelope ready, here's the deal. This is a low pressure, no pressure environment. I promise. Some of you guys today are giving. And I know that it's a sacrifice. And that's what's amazing is that God uses sacrifices. Remember the feeding of the 5,000, the little boy's lunch? He gave what he had and Jesus multiplied it. That's what we need to do today. Let's give what we can. Let's give a sacrifice and watch what the immeasurable God can do. If you are ready to give today, you can give cash, check, whatever in this envelope. Many of you are planning on giving online today or this week or even over the next couple weeks. That's fine. But even symbolically today, even if it's an empty envelope, if you know that you're going to give later online, and those of you that are watching online, again, about 50% of our church is not here, you're there. But you're just as much a part of our church as anybody here. So we need also for you to give in the Heart for the House offering to make all of these endeavors possible. So we can. So we can do all of these things. That's why our generosity matters so much. So today, here's what I want to do. I'm going to ask our kids leaders to come in and lead the way. Our kids are going to start off giving. Can we give our children a huge round of applause from Citizen Kids? Now let's give the kids another huge round of applause. So awesome. If all of you guys would stand at this time, and what we're gonna do is we're gonna go into this time of giving, and then I'm gonna come back, we're gonna sing a song, and then I'm gonna come back and close. But here's what I'm gonna ask. If you call Citizen Church your home, and you want to invest in the church that's investing in you, what I'm gonna ask is you to give something today. And again, even if it's symbolic of what you're gonna do later online, at this time, if you're watching online, you can go ahead and give at this time. The info should be right there on the screen for you and all the prompts. But I'm gonna ask our dream team, if you guys would go ahead and wave your hands. Most of you are in red shirts. They're gonna kind of guide you, but it's gonna kind of look like out and around. We'll put our offering in these buckets up here at the front. We'll sing this last song, and then we'll come and pray. But here's what I want us to do. Take this seriously. We're praying over this offering, just like that little boy's lunch. God, multiply it. And I believe I'm going to stand on this stage in a few weeks and tell you the story of a miracle that we're about to experience financially to do more ministry than we've ever done as a church. Do you believe it? All right, let's give today.